B-Pod Studios.
All right, it's the 3 o'clock hour of the Mike Mussinelli Show. Hembo, the ESPN Show Get Up, will join us at 3:30 with some very interesting JT Realmuto statistics and how the Phillies have scored a major coup here. And a lot of people were asking me on Twitter whether I think that the Phillies will, even if they don't get Harper or Machado now, considering they got JT Realmuto, is that just as good? And I go, no, it's not. They're not. JT Realmuto is not going to be the difference between them winning the pennant or not. But Harper will be. All right. So let's stop that right there. 610-632-0975. The 3 o'clock hour is, of course, brought to us by Corpolis Bakery and Deli. World famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays, every bit as good. You heard Elton Brand earlier, and the Markel Fultz thing. He said that it just wasn't going to work. And that's basically the bottom line. It's not that they got an overwhelming package. Yeah, and he did say that the draft picks were important to replenish. But the bottom line is that they had decided it wasn't going to work here. And so, in retrospect, he probably goes down in history as their worst draft pick ever.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Number one pick. They traded to get to that spot to get him. Sean Bradley is like second, probably.
Yeah, because you could add Penny.
Fultz goes to the top of the list.
Yeah, he goes to the top end. Mm-hmm. The only thing that makes it not even worse is that the Kings are probably going to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So that Boston pick that they're going to get from them isn't that big of a deal.
Yeah.
But it's still horrendous.
Yeah, it just didn't work out. It's a shame. But they had to cut bait. Rob in Westchester, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Rob.
Hey, Mike.
What's up, Rob?
Just had a question about any possible people that you think the Sixers buy out or grab off buyouts for the backup point guard position. I've heard that the Hawks were considering buying out Jeremy Lin. What do you think about that?
It's pretty much all over now, isn't it? I mean, I think teams are pretty – I don't know if anybody – All right, Jeremy Lin is a backup point guard. I mean, that doesn't move the needle for me, to be honest with you.
You don't like Jeremy Lin?
Nah, not really.
No.
I don't think he... I mean, listen, would he be better than TJ? I don't know. It's marginal. I don't think Jeremy Lin can guard these days.
I mean, he can shoot better than TJ.
Yeah, he can. I don't know. I guess I would take him, but I wouldn't go overboard.
And then one more... if the Pelicans buy out Markieff Morris, not that he's a guard, but how would you feel about
They moved him already, Markieff, didn't they? They moved Markieff Morris.
When?
To another team. Well, he went somewhere.
He went to the Pelicans, and they're rumored to buy him out.
Oh, you're telling me the Pelicans buy him out?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but he's hurt, right? Is he still hurt? I think they have enough perimeter players now, front court, like type 3-4s. Don't you think?
Yeah, I mean... I think they.
You want more, Rob? You're not satisfied, bro.
Just a guard.
All right.
Maybe Holden Mack or something.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I think they're pretty satisfied right now with what they have. Steve and Broomall, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Steve.
Yo, Mark, how you doing?
What's going on, Steve?
Good, man. Listen, you know, with the trade that the Sixers made, you know, and the guys they have now, there should be no reason why that they can't go into somebody's house during a playoff game and get at least one win.
Oh, I agree. You know, if you can't, the way you've stocked your team now, is it too much for me to ask that you go into Milwaukee and win a game? And you win that series in six?
Yeah, I mean, it's BS. There's no way they
can. No, I agree. I think we're giving the Bucks a little too much credit. You know, they're not an unbeatable team. I think you can win a game on the road.
Sure.
Now, they're probably going to win a game on the road, too. So the series may have to come down to the Sixers winning game 7 in Milwaukee. But I'm okay with that. They should be able to do that.
Yeah, you know, and in regards to the coach, I mean, I bet you he blew more than a handful of games. He was just out-coached on some of these games.
Yeah, I don't know about that. To be honest with you, their team lacked. I mean, you're a general manager. He looked at they lacked in this area, that area. They lacked in three major areas.
Yeah, well,
I know it's easy to blame the coach for losing games, But when we don't give him credit for winning games, like, he's won a couple games that he probably shouldn't have won, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So it all evens out.
All right, Mike, have a good week.
All right, man, you got it. Everybody wants a pick on Brett. I'm putting the heat on him now. I think it's fair to put the heat on him now. Let's get Arnold on the cell. Arnold, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Arnold.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, Arnold?
I got a disagreement with you. I love the way the team is built. The only problem, the reason I wouldn't put anything on Brett Brown is the youngness of these two guys that we counting on to do the most. When these guys get on the court, it seems like when they see Kawhi Leonard, they turn the ball over 6 times apiece. They start cutting their passing lanes. I think a lot of players got to grow older than when they first get their first couple years. They're going to go to the finals. I don't know if it's this year, and I think the turnovers is what's going to rule. Last year in the playoffs.
You're evaluating a team that they aren't now. They're a different team now. They have added 4 players.
Who's going to have the ball the most?
Well, Ben Simmons is going to have the ball, but you see that Butler's got the ball in situations where he's running the point and Ben slides down to the 4. I get that Ben turns the ball over. I get it. But this is a team that was incomplete. The reason why you turn a ball over is because you get a little headstrong. If you've got better players around you, you're less headstrong. You trust other guys.
Well, I got to see what they do. But I know older players get better. Okafor left. Now what's he doing? 20-10?
Yeah,
he was young. They're young.
Yeah, okay. What is your point? What is the point? The Sixers aren't good enough right now? What is your point? What are you telling me?
My point is they might be able to, but I wouldn't say if they lose a game. But when they lost that game to Boston last year, they had a 4-point lead. And then
Embiid
turned the ball over.
They're a different team. They have closed some gaps here. Are you not aware of this?
Oh, I love it.
You're bitching before things happen.
I'm not bitching. I'm just saying I'm not going to blame the coach. I'm not going to get enough.
What's going on? My head is getting spun today. What's going on? My head. It's getting spun around.
You know.
You're bitching and moaning about old things. Yes, they turned the ball over a lot before. They lacked certain positions to back up certain spots. They lacked perimeter defense. They don't lack that now. At least, let me watch them play for 7 games for crying out loud and then tell me.
Right. Embiid and Simmons last year in the playoffs, who are they going to pass it to? Now you got a bunch of options.
I get what you're talking about. I'm like, why is today the bitch day? They've done all they could to shore up the weaknesses that they have.
Why not be optimistic?
That's what I'm looking at. I understand. They turn the ball. No, it's a different team now. Now, if they turn the ball over with all these new complement of players and they play on discipline, they don't defend the perimeter, well, then we'll bitch. I can bitch with the best of them. Anthony in Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Anthony.
What's going on, Mike?
What's going on,
Ed? I'm looking forward to tonight, seeing these guys mess together over the next couple weeks and into the playoffs. I think you're right. I think we get out of the Eastern Conference, and I don't think we can get past Golden State. Maybe take them to Game 6, like you said the other
day. Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think they're ready to beat Golden State. I require them to win the East now.
Yeah, for sure. So my only worry going forward is one of the guys won't re-sign here. And I'm thinking that's Jimmy.
Why wouldn't he re-sign here?
I don't know. I don't like his attitude sometimes. But I got a question for you.
Uh-huh.
Say he doesn't sign.
Mm-hmm.
And Klay Thompson's a free agent after this year, correct?
Yeah.
Would you throw the house on him? Because that starting lineup with him, JJ, Tobias, Ben.
Well, you're gonna have to throw the same house on him that you would on Jimmy Butler. So if he wanted,
I would take Clay.
If Clay wanted to play here, I'd be interested in that too. But he's not going to want to play in the East.
You don't think?
No.
And that would make 4 All Stars on our squad, and I think that.
I think you're sure changing Butler a little bit. You got to see how Butler plays with this new team, and then you might feel differently. I think the Sixers are going to keep this whole contingent together for several years.
I hope I feel differently. I'd love Tobias coming here, though, because I've watched him kill us plenty of times over the last couple of years. So
very good player. I think this is going to re-energize Butler. I think Butler is kind of a spoiled brat. I think that he wants things his way all the time. In a way, that's good. That makes him a good player. In a way, when he doesn't believe in his other teammates that they can win, because he judges other players harshly. Like, you can't play, you can't play, you can't play. I think that's his problem. When you looked around his team and he said, yeah, this is a nice situation, but we're not good enough to win. Well, now you add Tobias Harris and you start playing a little bit. And Jimmy goes, you know what? It's pretty cool. I can make a lot of money here, and we're going to go to the finals the next couple of years. I'm in. Goose in South Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Goose.
Hey, what's going on, Mike?
What's going on, Goose?
How you doing? I just want to say I'm EB and y'all, Brandon. Hearing his press conferences, hearing your interview that you just had with him, how he got right to the point with Fultz. You know, most guys around the bush and tell you why they didn't go move forward with him, but I believe he got right to the point and gave us the truth, and you got to respect that.
Yeah, I'm surprised he was that candid, to be honest with you.
I mean, listen, I was sitting here in my car like, wow. I felt as though like he was my friend or something. He was telling me the truth off the record or something like that. But, like, it was great. But my other thing I was saying before I get off, there was a lot of hate going on the old school Chevy when they signed them as GM. He don't know what he's doing. Mm-hmm. I mean, just because he was with the G League or whatever like that. It was a lot of hate, especially in my sports group, in my Foot Locker sports group. A lot of hate. And I just want to say shout out to him. He's doing a fantastic job. This is his rookie year, and he put us from just a playoff team to taking us out of the East team within his first year. And I just want to say this is hats off to EB.
Now, I agree with you, and there was a lot of hate. You know what? It was justified because he was a novice GM, so I mean, it was okay to question him.
But I was on a notion like, if not him, who else? And nobody else had a name. Mm-hmm. And I'm not the guy who knows the GMs and who's up next or who you should get. So my take was just give him a chance.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? Because I relate everything to football, but I hated on the Doug Peterson hiring. You understand what I'm saying?
All right, man, you got it. And you see, the other thing is so many phone calls have to be made. So that's why I give his staff a lot of credit. Because they're running down leads. You know, who's available here? Who's available there? I mean, it takes a lot of legwork to do that. So he's not doing that himself. So he's got a lot of guys around him that are doing that stuff.
Yeah, they felt comfortable for that.
Oh, they did the Okafor call. Let's not get carried away on Okafor. He's had a couple of big games, okay? He's got minutes because of the AD situation. He's averaging like 7 points a game.
Yeah, also, during this stretch, just so people, if you care about such things, they're minus 25 in the defensive metric when he's on the court.
Yeah, he's just as horrendous as you remember. He's too slow to get the spots. He can't weak side defend either because he's too slow. Josh in Red Hill, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Josh.
Good afternoon, everyone.
What's going on, Josh?
I have some optimism for you. Mm-hmm. I want to tell you that I believe the process is complete and the championship will be here soon.
Okay.
So I am an optimist. Uh-huh. I am okay with every move they make. I believe that Brand went out and exactly what you said, got as many pieces as he could to fill the chessboard full for Brown. So I'm not against Ben Simmons. I believe that he is going to be a better facilitator of the ball now than he was before the trades all happened. So I completely.
I totally agree with you because he's got better players surrounding him.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct. I believe our bench gets stronger, and I believe even substitutions for Brett Brown get easier now that you can keep two. Possible three on the floor at all times, giving everyone adequate rest and completion of the game.
Yes. So, I think you're absolutely right on.
My only question to you is I was unable to hear the interview with Brett Brown. I wasn't off work yet.
Elton Brand.
With Elton Brand. Yeah.
We're going to replay that later in the show, by the way.
Okay. Do you believe that he has the best vision being an ex-player recently to tell if Brett Brown is his guy or not going forward?
Yes. I think that what he thinks now, and he has to think, that he filled in all the gaps. And now if the coach doesn't win with him filling in the gaps, he's going to review like whether he was wrong or not in choosing a certain player. But I believe that he feels he's chosen right and that they should win the East now. And I think they're going to judge Brett on based on that.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
I'm looking forward, and go Sixers tonight. Big win.
Okay, buddy. You got it.
Thank you, Mike. Have a great weekend.
You too. There was a good story today. It named all the processors. All the people that were involved in the process. The pliers. The list is amazing. I gotta find it.
Some of the names are like so obscure.
They went from A to Z. Oh damn, where is it? I gotta find it here. I'll find it. Let's go to Scott in Barrington. Scott, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Scott.
Hi, Mike. What's going on?
How you doing, buddy?
Good. If you allow me, I'm gonna say hello to my godmother, Miss Sissy. She's a big sports junkie, and I know she is down with what happened, but she's watching you and I mean right now. So, hey, Miss Sissy. But Brother Mike, with the Sixers, man, I think Elton Brand has just leaped up. No disrespect to Matt Klentak or Howie Roseman, but like I said, he did this his rookie season. Do you agree with that? He's kind of counterpulled it above those two executives?
Yes.
Man, I just... And what that last caller said, I believed in him because I know he was down in the D-League, but like the last call, he's just hasn't been long removed from the game.
Mm-hmm.
He was a blue-collar worker. Number two, he was a role player, so he definitely knows how to sniff them out, Brother Mike. I just don't know what to say right now. But the Phillies real quick, Brother Mike. Once again, thanks for taking my call, and peace and God bless to you. Give me your lineup with this catcher that they got from...
I gave it to you yesterday. We'll change it up. It's either Hernandez or...
Okay.
Now, I'm including Bryce Harper in this lineup. All right? Because the lineups that were in the paper today don't include Bryce Harper, and I got to have Bryce Harper in my lineup. So it's either Hernandez or Segura at the top spot.
Okay.
Real Muto hits 2. Harper, 3. Hoskins, 4. McCutchen, 5, Herrera, 6, Franco, 7, and either Segura or Hernandez, 8.
Okay, one last question, Brother Mike. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about the DH coming to the National League? Listen to the answer. Peace. God bless.
The DH's not going to never come to the National League. It's just not going to happen.
Well, there's talk that it's going to happen.
Not going to happen.
All right.
But old school people still have, like me, still have influence in the game. No DH in the National League. I don't want it.
Good. What do you think about the disabled list going away?
The disabled list going away, it's irrelevant to me. I don't care.
That's what they did.
Yeah, they didn't do anything significant to alter the game. Much to Jason's chagrin. Jason wanted to have Max Patkin and 7 clowns out there run around like the Keystone Cops to improve the game.
I'm familiar with adjustments he wants to make.
He did. He wants to have a penalty box. He wants to have everything. I hear that. You ready for the process?
Unfortunately.
Furkan Aldemir. This is the A. Furkan Aldemir, LaVoy Allen, James Anderson, Justin Anderson.
Well, you know, my guy.
Your guy. B's. Bayless, Bellinelli, Bolden. Well, Bolden's still with the squad. So, Trevor Booker. Remember him?
Yeah.
Oh, my Trevor Booker.
Lorenzo Brown.
Ugh.
Okay, the C's. Michael Carter Williams, Isaiah Cannon.
Who?
Cannonball. D's. Brandon Davies.
Who?
Larry Drew. Yeah. Had some time here. Yeah. The F's. Penn State's own Tim Frazier.
Who?
Come on, man.
Come on.
Point guard Tim Frazier from Nittany Lionville.
Who?
He's still in the league.
Is he?
Yeah. G. Drew Gordon played here for a half a second. Jeremy Grant. The H's, Justin Harper. I don't even have any recollection of Justin Harper. I have no recollection. Justin Harper. Who is he? Spencer Hawes.
Ugh.
Gerald Henderson. The J's, Demetrius Jackson. Chris Johnson. Darius Johnson Odom.
What?
Yes.
What?
Yes. The L's, Carl Landry was here for a half a second. Malcolm Lee. Sean Long.
Huh?
The M's. Kendall Marshall. Remember him? He bitched about playing time, Kendall Marshall. Remember him? The point guard? The father bitched and moaned that he wasn't getting playing time.
His injury led to the emergence of TJ.
There you go.
His injury is why TJ made the team, and now you got TJ.
Eric Maynor, James Michael McAdoo.
What?
KJ McDaniels. JaVale McGee was here for a second.
Yeah.
Darius Morris, Arnett Moultrie, Byron Mullins. In the ends, James Nunnally. Oh, Daniel Orton. Alex Poitras. Remember him?
Yes.
Yes. Phil Pressey, the little guard, and Jacob Pullen, the guard from Kansas State.
Come on.
The R's, Chasen Randall. Jason Richardson was here for 3 years where he was injured for three straight years. Glenn Robinson was here. Thomas Robinson. And the immortal Sergio Rodriguez, the point guard from Spain.
Yes.
And here's my favorite, my guy in the S's. Jakar Sampson. Alexei Shved. Oh, my God.
Yes.
Henry Sims. Ish Smith. Tiago Splitter. The T's. Hollis Thomas, my other guy, Adonis Thomas, and Malcolm Thomas.
The Thomas brothers. Yeah, the Thomas brothers.
V, an all-timer. Jarvis Varnado.
When?
From Mississippi State.
He really played for the Sixers?
Yes. The W's, Casper Ware, Sonny Weems, Elliot Williams, Christian Wood, and Tony Roten.
Uh-oh.
My man. And then finally, the Y's, James Young. They're your process stankers.
All right, I'm going to say it again. They have to win a title. I didn't sit through that for some finals appearance and Embiid and Simmons. They have to win a title.
God.
If you're going to put me through that.
Talk about Drek. All right, two open lines, 610-622-0975. Hembo from the Get Up Show with some fascinating statistics on J.L. Realmuto. He's a good player. You know what? I think he's Italian. I don't think he's a Latino player.
No, he's. I mean, he doesn't.
I think he's Italian.
Yeah,
look at that. In this day and age,
Italian in the league. In this day and age,
I mean, maybe. And he's here.
He comes from some crazy athletic family where his brothers or cousins are like champion wrestlers.
Now here he is to represent.
Like, where are they from? Oklahoma or somewhere? Like, he's got a bunch of champion wrestlers in his family. All right, so Mike Piscinelli Show. We're back after this.
Faces.
This Fanatic Sports Update is brought to you by Rosenbaum Injury Law, the power of justice for accidents, malpractice, or nursing home abuse. Remember Rosenbaum over two decades helping our community. The newest Sixers will make their debut tonight at home against the Nuggets. The Nuggets. Tobias Harris joined Farzetta and Trey this morning and discussed his new teammates.
I think the biggest thing is not really worried about who gets this or that, where shots come from. Just have fun out there. You know, when you play the best basketball and play together, everything will take care of itself. And the biggest thing for us is winning and going forward. So nothing else should really interfere into that.
You can hear tonight's game right here on the Fanatic at 7. Our Sixers in 60 show leads you into the game beginning at 6. Flyers snapped their winning streak, falling to the Kings last night 3-2. They play the Ducks tomorrow at 1. Phillies acquired catcher JT Realmuto from the Marlins for Jorge Alfaro, Sixto Sanchez, and Will Stewart. Brian Westbrook joins Mike today from 4 to 5. New Amsterdam Vodka, the official vodka of the NHL Stadium Series, watches the Penguins take on the Flyers. New Amsterdam Spirits Company, Modesto, California, copyright 2019. We know you're busy, so we made it even easier for you to hear any of our shows that you missed. Go to 97.5thefanatic.com or download the Fanatic app for our daily Best of Show podcast. I'm Natalie Eganoff for 97.5 The Fanatic.
Mike Missinelli on 97.5 The Fanatic.
All right.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
All right, 3:31, Mike Piscinelli Show. A lot of Sixer talk today, but let's take a left turn here. Spring training is almost upon us. We'll be down there for a couple of days. Hopefully, they'll have Bryce Harper by then. But they acquired JT Realmuto yesterday. And by all accounts, he is the best catcher in the game today. So it was a major, major coup for the Philadelphia Phillies. And this goes beyond just acquiring a starting catcher, because he's got some really interesting numbers. And for those numbers and some factoids, we bring in our ace, Hembo from the ESPN morning show, Get Up. Hembo, how you doing? We're not talking football.
I know. Yeah, you know I love the birds, but when the Phillies made this deal yesterday, I was texting you up a storm. You know I'm giddy about this guy.
Yes, you are. You're a big Phils fan, and you love this guy. So give me some factoids about JT Realmuto.
We're going to get in the weeds a bit, but in the next few minutes, I will have convinced you and your listeners that this is going to be the Phillies' best catcher since Darren Dalton. He is not just the best catcher in baseball, as you said, which he is. He is practically a unicorn, because five-tool players are a rarity in today's game, as you know, given specialization, especially at a premium position like catcher. Let's start with his hitting. Realmuto has been surpassed by Marlins Park, which has rated among the five least friendly ballparks for hitters in each of the last three seasons. The gap between his OPS there, Mikey Miss, and all other ballparks is equivalent to the difference between Mookie Betts, the American League MVP, and John Jay. He's a utility outfielder during that time. Excluding all plate appearances taken at Marlins Park in the last three seasons, Realmuto's batting average on balls in play of .363 ranks seventh among 366 qualified hitters.
So he hits .363 with balls in play. And that's real interesting, because that means he hits the ball hard, he hits it in gaps, and you know, gets the ball down.
He does, but what has been made exceedingly clear in my research is that his batted ball profile did not favor Marlins Park. Mm-hmm. He can hit for power too, but he wasn't able to show that there, and I'll tell you why. Citizens Bank Park graded as the fourth best park for home runs last season. Marlins Park is where Realmuto's fly balls have gone to die. In the last three seasons, his slugging percentage on fly balls is 41% below the league average there, and 17% above the league average in all other stadiums. Mikey missed only 6.5% of his fly balls at Marlins Park over the last three seasons found the seats, but his figure in all other ballparks of 15.4 is in line with Anthony Rizzo, Adrian Beltre, wow, Matt Carpenter, and a bunch of other legitimate
that's
sluggers.
That's pretty lofty. Are we talking about a 30 home run guy here?
That's the exact number I was going to give you for the over under. Mm-hmm. He said 49 bombs in the last three seasons, but Citizens Bank Park last year graded as the fourth easiest, and Marlins Park as the hardest. You could not possibly make a bigger jump as a hitter than this.
Now, he's a freak athlete, and that's unusual, because freak athletes don't come up as catchers anymore. They're shifted to other positions. But this guy can do it all behind the plate, which is a lot more than Jorge Alfaro could do.
No kidding. He has a hose. The part of his game that you may most enjoy, Mikey Miss, you're a baseball guy, is his throwing arm. Realmuto has ranked among the top two in average pop time to second base in each of the last three seasons, according to StatCast. And he has thrown out 35% of would-be base stealers during that time. That's 8% more than Jorge Alfaro, who was part of that package back. And as a team, the Phillies ranked 22nd in baseball over that measure in the last two seasons. They've really missed Chooch in that area. This guy can throw it. He's got an absolute cannon. You're going to enjoy watching him.
Now Alfaro could throw out some runners, too. So that's significant that he does, he has that much, 8% higher than Alfaro.
But Alfaro doesn't have the exchange this guy has. He has the arm and the exchange.
Yeah, all right. And he also can block balls, which Alfaro could not do.
Yeah, let's get really in the weeds here, okay? I'm going to throw my glasses.
Into the weeds.
Okay, bro. So Realmuto's strong throwing arm is easily identified, but his blocking skills are often overlooked. You said it. Over the last three seasons, Realmuto ranks sixth in blocking runs. Yeah, that's a real stat. The five catchers ahead of him have combined to bat .241 during that time, while Realmuto's .286 average ranks third among 48 qualified catchers. And his reputation as a poor pitch framer proved accurate in his first full two seasons with the Marlins, but that stigma is no longer true. Don't believe it when you read it online. I've seen it all over the place today. It is not true. Over the last two seasons, he ranks 22nd among 99 graded catchers in framing runs above average. He's good now.
All right.
At the very least, he's average.
And he also can run. And you rarely see catchers who can run.
This is my favorite part of his game. Over the last three seasons, Yadier Molina is the only catcher with more innings behind the plate than Realmuto. Even so, he has not dogged it on the base pass. He is ranked first among all catchers in average sprint speed in each of the last three seasons, according to StatCast. And he has parlayed his speed into run-scoring opportunities in a way that most catchers never can. He has ranked above the league average in extra bases taken percentage. Yeah, that's a real stat, too. In each of his four full big league seasons, and his figure of 67% last season ranked second among 278 players, not just catchers, with at least 300 plate appearances. He can run.
Dude, you're all excited, man. We may have to fire hose you down here.
All right,
so now analytically, by himself, he's going to give the Phillies 2-3 extra wins. That's just by himself. But what does that mean, like handling a pitching staff? And like, how many extra wins can this guy make the Phillies account for here?
My suspicion here is that the gap between he and Alfaro and whomever else he is replacing in that respect is 2-3 wins by himself, but there's a reasonable chance, given his experience, that he can handle the pitching staff in such a shrewd way from his experience that number goes up to 4, maybe even 5. And if you consider where the Phillies are now, you see them as a team probably in the 85, 86, 87 win range, if you're being generous. And if they want to drop some stupid money on Bryce or Manny, I think you're looking at a 90-win ball.
If they sign Bryce Harper or Manny Machado, we're going to plug you into an electric car to charge it.
I'm going to show up at your studio at 3 in the morning instead of mine.
Unbelievable. That's good stuff, Hembo. Thanks for letting us know, brother.
You're a good man. Enjoy the weekend.
All right, there he is. That's Hembo with Real Muto stats. So they got a coup here. That's second-level statistics we're bringing you there.
Woohoo!
You know, I like those second-level stats.
The best catcher since Dutch?
Like Buster Posey good, this guy.
Yeah, and I think he's going to end up, as far as offensively, giving them even more than Dutch did. I don't know if he'll have all the intangibles. You know,
yeah,
Dutch was the ultimate leader.
That park, he's going to, if he hits, I didn't even account for it. Like 30 home runs. All right, now this is, hold on. We're going to go back to Sixers in a second, but I got to add this up. Because I got Harper with 45.
Right? Round that, go to 40.
I got 45.
At 45?
At Citizens Bank Park, dude.
His
fly balls to the left center go out.
All right,
so 45 for Harper.
Uh-huh.
Can we give McCutcheon 20?
Yeah.
McCutcheon 20.
He'll hit 20.
Give Rhys Hoskins, you want to give him, can we give him 40?
I would go 35 with
him. All right, 35 for Rhys Hoskins. I'm not going to count Herrera. I'm just counting the home run hitter guys. Real Muto, 30. Four guys.
And you got to give Franco 20.
I'll give Franco 15. All right, because I don't want to go gooey on Franco.
I think he can hit 20 if he plays every day.
That's seven. That's that one thing. One. That's 155 bombs.
Yeah,
with five players in the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty damn good.
That's none.
That sounds nice. As hell.
And that allows for Scotty jetpacks. If he speeds up his bat, he could hit. He has some
the
pop.
The game is all about bombs, Tyrone.
Right.
This day and age, launch angle bombs.
That means you probably keep Herrera then, because he can hit it out and Quinn can't.
Herrera give you 10.
Well, he gave you more than that last
Segura
year.
Segura give you 10.
How many did Herrera give you last year?
200 home run lineup. That's silly. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with your phone calls. Brian Westbrook at 4 o'clock. Also, we have the realtor who listed this property that had a rather provocative couple of photos with this house that's for sale, a 5,000-square-foot house. We'll talk to her on the listing and why she included the provocative photos.
Part of the house, I guess.
Yes. We're back after this on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
On 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
All right, it's 3:46. It's the Mike Missinelli Show. It's 97.5 The Fanatic. Just a little addition to this story that we're going to have the realtor on in the 4 o'clock hour, probably later in the 4 o'clock hour. Her name's Melissa. I know her pretty well. And she listed this house. And it's a house that has a provocative room in it. And it's startling. It's going viral, right? But this reminds me of a story that I remember when I was a staff member at the Enquirer. The greatest faux pas in the history of the Enquirer.
What was that?
This was a photo. It was the head of the food section of the particular newspaper. And it was the photographer was this, it was an Asian photographer named Akira, who thought he was the greatest photographer in the world. He was the most pompous guy I've ever seen in my life. Like, he would refuse to go on photo assignments because they weren't Akira quality. He would tell the editors.
Well, then. Right?
So they said, it was a story on this woman who cooked in her kitchen, whatever. She had some kind of special recipe for something.
Yeah.
And so the photo was a close-up of her. Like, she had a ceramic mug on her counter, her kitchen butcher block counter. Was a ceramic mug with all her cooking utensils in it. The whisk and the wooden spoon and the spatula. You know how they stack those?
Yeah.
Right? And she was, like, in a background. It was kind of, she was fuzzy in the background. And the photo was, like, had the focus on the utensil thing.
Okay.
So it was an artsy photo.
Yeah.
Well, when you looked closer at the photo, the handle of the ceramic mug.
Oh, no.
Was the male genitalia.
Why?
I don't know. It was like a novelty mug of some sort that he didn't catch. Neither did the editors.
That is hilarious.
The picture was published, and the handle of it was...
Was the rest of the mug normal?
Yes. The rest of the mug was normal, but the handle was like...
That is strange.
It's not that strange.
It caused the inquiry.
Why is that not that strange?
Terrible embarrassment.
Strange that it made it. It's not strange that a person
would have a mug like that?
Yeah, it's not weird.
Yeah, I've seen those novelties.
Yeah, I've seen those.
Spencer Gifts used to have those kind of stuff all the time.
Do you use that to decorate your house?
Well, you got no kids around.
That's a good question. Like, why the woman would have that?
You know why?
She was an older middle-aged
woman. Doesn't matter.
Can you grab me a spatula out of the,
No, I just think that she, like, thought it was a big enough mug for her utensils, and didn't realize at the time that he was taking the photo that that's what it was.
Okay, if I had that in my kitchen, the first thing I would do would be to hide that.
That's you, Nat.
Anyway,
some people out there more.
It caused all kinds of furor. I can't remember what year this was, but it caused all kinds of furor within the newspaper.
I'm going to see if I can find it.
Embarrassment. Yeah,
I'm going to see if I can find it.
I was working at the Enquirer at the time when it happened, and it was just knowing him. Like, he could make a mistake like that. It was, like, satisfying to a lot of people.
Right, that he was the one who printed that.
He was so obnoxious, this guy, this photographer. All right, let's go to Hank in South Philly. Hank, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hank.
What's up, my brother?
What's going on, Hank?
You know, my wife laughed at me yesterday when I called you the day before because you said you need to get that miserable gene out of you.
Uh-huh.
And my wife was like, how did he know you like that? I died.
See, Hank, you were miserable yesterday. You really were.
Yeah, hey, Mike, a lot of things you said were true. But look I'm not going to keep you long. I just want to make a statement about Markelle Fultz, right? Mm-hmm. Dig this. Whoever picked him didn't do their homework. Why would you pass over guys that went to Duke and all these other good schools to take a dude from Washington State?
Hold on a second. He's from Washington, D.C., and he was a highly recruited, one of the most highly recruited players in the nation. Yeah. It wasn't, you can't punish him because he chose Washington. Washington was a good team at the time. They had two guys that turned out they filed for the NBA draft. He thought he was going there to form this great college team.
All right.
So yeah. You're off base with that.
Okay.
So
why didn't they interview him? He was only 19 years old.
Listen, they weren't the only team that thought he was a great player. It just didn't work out, brother. It didn't work out with the kid.
I just couldn't understand how you could forget how to shoot a jump shot and you've been doing it all your life.
Well, I don't know how that happened, but what I can tell you is that most of the mock drafts had him being taken with the first pick.
Wow.
You're a miserable, Hank. You're a miserable. You gotta get your facts.
Hey, you know what, Mike? God bless you. Have a good day.
All right, man. Hank is a miserable. Rob and Colwyn. Rob, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Rob.
Hey, Yeah, Mike. The only reason I called besides the guy just that he wasn't too bad. I mean, these guys, all this negativity, because my thing is just sitting back watching your show, not mm-hmm. calling in. I mean, to my opinion, this is the best sports show we have in Philadelphia. Between Natalie and Jerome, you and Jerome, all his knowledge, I can't believe.
Jerome's pretty good, man. I like Jerome on this show.
Yeah, I can't believe all his knowledge.
I agree, man. Jerome does a good job.
Bam, it comes up. Bam, he's like, he's right there. Y'all are perfect together. And when you got all those other calls before the uh-huh. other two calls before this guy just got finished talking, but uh-huh. they calm things down. But it was getting kind of crazy, and I had to force my hand to call. But now things have eased up. I need to get back and watch you. But I do think about when everybody talking about Fultz, that was Costanz. What's the guy with the burner Twitter accounts? That was his pick. You know, everybody got to remember, that's his pick. Okay, and
yeah, I get it. But again, I can't say it was a bad pick. I really can't.
I agree.
It turned out to be a bad pick.
City.
Yeah,
everybody, this whole city was up over all folks until he didn't pan out.
Yeah.
And I also think the last thing that kid, when that day, if everybody remember, and I think he was done, mm-hmm. when Brett Brown was getting ready to put him in, substitute him in, and at the last second he called him back and put Connolly in, and out the whole fans just went up. Hooray! They act like Iverson or somebody just was announced to come in on the court.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that took everything from that kid. That kid would be no good, and he would never work here. But that's all I had to say, because I got to get back and
all
work.
All right, bro. You got
there's
it, man.
So much peace.
All right, peace.
Like all those other callers, all this positive we got in Philadelphia, and all come out of your mouth with nothing but negativity.
I got you, bro. Right, Bob. I got you. Jerome, what do you think of that?
His name is a curse.
His name's a curse.
It is.
How do you forget Tyrone? You can't forget it.
It's the name is so black that he just merges it with the other super black name, which is Jerome.
My future kid's going to have the
most generic name.
Jerome's not a super black name.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't. There's a lot of white folks named Jerome.
In the 60s. There's no young Jeromes. The youngest white Jerome is 65 years old.
Jerry Seinfeld's name's Jerome.
65 years old.
All right. 610-632-0975. Brian Westbrook joins us at 4 o'clock. We'll have some fun after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.